Welcome to an off-campus podcast. I'm Lance Ringler, and a special guest today, and he truly is special, a former colleague, longtime Golf Week employee, Sean Martin. Sean, thanks for stepping up to the plate and talking a little college golf with me today.
Thanks for having me. I can't believe it's been 6 years, but it's been 6 years, and what a great NCAA championship to come back to. It's such an awesome place to be.
You know, Sean, we had a lot of good times and covered a lot of amateur golf, a lot of college golf specifically with me. And before we dive into this, I have to let everybody out there know that you are a popcorn analyst, a senior popcorn analyst is what we called you.
That's a deep cut. That's a deep reference. Very few people are going to get that.
No, but well, Spirit Hollow Golf Club, you were there for the Golf Week Conference Challenge 1 year.
Multiple years.
And they had some of the best popcorn in any clubhouse.
It was probably the best. There was a lot of butter. It wasn't good for you at all, but it was definitely delicious.
We were in Iowa.
Yeah, high salt too, actually. Very high salt made it good.
All right, moving along here, Sean. Real quick, I know you're very passionate about college golf and coming this year to Carston Creek, the national championship. Tell me a few things that you missed or some things that are different from when you were here. Obviously, television, one thing. But just talk a little bit about, you know, what you see the biggest differences from your time. Because your last championship was at
2012 at Riviera.
At Riviera,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, which is crazy because now Justin Thomas is number one in the world. Yeah. Jordan Spieth has 3 majors. That was just 6 years ago.
Yeah.
No, the biggest thing, I remember the first thing I did, I put my stuff down. I walked down to the 9 green. It's kind of that amphitheater setting. And there's a video board playing the telecast. So you could sit in the shade on the round 9th green and watch the telecast like a tour event.
Yeah.
I mean, that was insane. I think they had electronic scoreboards when I left, but there was no – I mean, A, it wasn't on TV yet, and then B, it's just – there's nothing like that. I mean, so that was ridiculous. But being back, I mean, the coaches were great to see. None of the players – I don't know any of the players, yeah. Maybe a few from tour events and mutual friends, but – I mean, seeing Jay Sewell is always a pleasure. Alan Bratton, it was just good to shake their hands. Some look like they've seen a ghost. Jay, when he saw me on Monday, he joked, oh, they're bringing the big guns in. But it's just such a good community. It's so many people who are passionate about it. You know, I mean, guys like Jay Sewell have devoted their lives to it. They love the sport. And that's the thing that is so awesome is, you know, the PGA Tour where I work now and cover all my golf, it's a business. It's great competition, best players in the world. You see great golf at great golf courses, but it's a business. And this is just love of the game. I mean, those guys want to make that money one day. They're not putting all this time and effort in just for love of the game. They want to probably make a little cash too. But, I mean, it's just such passion that you don't get other places. And, you know, you don't have the ropes. You're in the fairway. You don't have agents to go through. You talk directly to the players. They're excited to talk to the media, which changes a little bit as they get older and maybe get a little wealthier and get a few wins on their belt. And so I just... Yeah, it's just that passion for it, definitely.
Carston Creek, obviously, great venue, great championship. The women went before the men, then obviously the men played this week. It's great. You were at some great golf courses, too. I remember you were at Inverness.
Yep.
Riviera.
Yep.
We had a great time at the Honors because we actually got to go out and play golf afterwards.
That was awesome. I was so disappointed that Riviera didn't let us do that. But, I mean, we would go out and... Yeah, the matches would finish, and matches were early because it wasn't on TV.
No TV.
These are such late days because the matches start so late. We went and played like 12 holes at Honors.
We played 18 one day, I think. Well, remember, Eric Soderstrom was with us.
Yeah.
And Asher Wildman. But we went out, and we were the only ones there.
Yeah, we played in like an hour and a half.
And the clubhouse was actually, lights were turned off and the doors were locked. There was nobody there. I think we even had to get out of the car and open up the gate when we left that night. I mean, we were at a national championship.
Yeah, I hope some kid wasn't in my divot, but I mean, that was insane.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. So those first championships, obviously you saw a lot of good players that are now on the PGA Tour, you know, reflecting back and comparing things. Patrick Reed, Augusta, you saw both those championships. And now Oklahoma State, maybe one of the better teams we've seen in the last 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah, I think Jay Sewell had a good point. I asked him where he rates this team. He's coached some good teams. He's seen some good teams. And, you know, some of that is time will tell because you do like to rate them on how the guys turn out as professionals. That's just part of the deal, I think. It's not just what you did in college, but, you know, a couple years later. And so, like, those Alabama teams, Justin Thomas, I mean, they had a couple of Walker Cuppers. Trey Mullinax is on tour. Tom Lovelady is on tour. That Texas team, Dylan Fratelli's top 50 in the world. Jordan Spieth was number one. Justin's number one now. I think... this was a dominant team, though. The biggest thing, too, I saw Ryan Ressa. He coached at Long Beach State, coached at UCLA, works for TaylorMade now. I was talking to him, and I was like, you know, each one of these kids, if you took him back to 2012 even, you'd be like, this kid bombs it. Mm-hmm. Now, he hits as far as anyone else. I mean, they hit it so far. I mean, the players have always been really good. the equipment helps, the technology helps, TrackMan, all that stuff. But every single kid is hitting long irons from like 240.
Right.
You know, it's not just drives that go really far. It's that you can hit a long iron 250 sometimes. It's such a different game.
Right.
I live right next to the University of North Florida. I see Scott Schroeder a lot. I know a couple of the players. And we were talking about scores beforehand at Carson Creek because of, you know, I think 39 over one when Clemson won. And,
exactly.
The cut probably in 2011 was 20 something over or so.
I can't remember exactly, but it was high.
But, I mean, UNF played early the first round, shot 293. And I texted a friend of mine. I was like, that's a good score, three of those, and they'll get in. And I guess 15 over would have gotten in, but you would have squeaked in. And
right.
I mean, the scores were ridiculous, and it shows how good players are. And you wrote a good article that I think had the points perfectly, is today's technology, it doesn't go sideways.
Right.
So these fairways are wide, but if you miss them by a lot, you're in the junk. Well, guys don't miss it wide enough here to hit it in the junk.
Right.
And then the greens are soft, and so guys are hitting these high, long, soft landing shots that, I mean, tons of birdie opportunities, actually.
Let's reflect back now. If we talk about going, you know, 2000, well, I started in 2002, I guess, all the way through 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10, you know, getting into some of the championships you were at. When I left this place and went home, the people back home, where have you been? You know, what have you been doing? They didn't know anything. Now, the last 3 or 4 years with this being on television, I go home and they're like, hey, how about that Oakle? How about that Wolf kid? Hey, how about that Haley Moore? And so, from, you know, not being here for a few years, how much has television brought to the college golf game?
Well, it's so funny. So I actually don't have cable. We're cord cutters. So I don't watch the NCAA championship because we just don't have it. I'll watch it other places, but I mean, I follow it on the night of the final. I'm always following it on Twitter. Yeah. And so that's cool because, I mean, A, you can see the videos pretty much live because they can put them on social media. But then B, you see how many people are talking about it on social media. And people you would never expect to talk about college golf are talking about it. So I actually kind of like that perspective. So if I was watching on TV, I wouldn't be looking at it on Twitter probably. But since that's my only source to see it, I get to see how crazy social media goes with totally random people that – you would never expect talking about college golf.
So social media has just as much impact maybe as television.
Oh, totally. To a degree. Yeah.
Out on tour, the players follow college golf a lot more than what they probably used to because it's a bigger deal.
Yeah. Well, and that's a huge thing, I think, is that, you know, so Justin Thomas now, he's number one in the world. He probably has, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand Twitter followers. When he's tweeting about college golf, I mean, that's hundreds of thousands of people. A lot of them are casual golf fans who are seeing stuff about college golf. And so that's, I mean, Ricky Fowler, same thing. So these guys get on tour and they're still really passionate about college because they're not that far removed. When Aaron Wise won, I tweeted something that Bryson in 2015 and Aaron Wise in 2016 won the NCAA championship, and 2 years later they were tour winners.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy. It's just, so I think the quick turnaround helps too because people now know that they're watching guys who are going to be on the tour in like 2 years. It's not like, you know, baseball. College baseball is fun and dramatic, but one of the things that people struggle with is, well, this guy's going to disappear for 5 years, go to the minors. These guys, you're going to see them soon. So if you want to be smart with your friends, you got to watch college golf.
So you bring up Aaron Wise winning a couple years ago, Bryson DeChambeau winning, and then we get Brock Effort.
That was a great story. I loved everything about that story, man. I love the thing about the coach. They had an interim coach, and so Jack O'Keefe comes in, and the interim coach goes, yeah, you know, I just don't think you're going to keep him around. He ain't very good. And he was just – I saw these people replying on Twitter who knew him, teammates. Wesley Bryan knows him because Wesley practices at the Augusta facility.
He
caddied at the Web.com tour for him. And all just talking about, man, the guy's a grinder. He's very much – I compared him like, hey, Brock, late bloomer, strong wedge game, hard worker. Like, it's Zach Johnson. He's from West Des Moines, Iowa. That's the strongest point.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like a
Zach Johnson. Brock's a little taller.
Type. Yes, that's true. And I got to – actually, one thing I really quickly, Matthew Wolf – clinching point, close to my heart. He practices at Westlake Golf Course, gets lessons from George Gankus there, Instagram sensation, of course. And that's where actually I picked range balls when I was in high school. The place is a 5,000-yard golf course. I talked to Matthew today. He plays that course. I mean, the guy is the freshman of the year, and he played a 5,000-yard golf course in high school.
Yeah.
Westlake, Chris Zambry, when he was on the buy.com tour then, he'd give lessons on his off weeks to make a little side cash. He'd give like junior group lessons. I mean, I was in those. He was National Coach of the Year a few years back. Matthew Wolf, George Gankus is there. Chris Como gave his first lessons there, and he taught Tiger eventually. It's a crazy place. I think it's a great story of just like all you need is cheap junior rates. It was $6 for juniors, right. And good range balls, and you know, you can make a place that produces good players and just has a really passionate and vibrant golf community.
Before we get off here, we have to mention Matt Wolf's golf swing. I mean, that's going to be a buzz probably this summer. It's going to certainly probably be a buzz amongst tour players. How do you describe that swing?
Well, the crazy thing is that everyone thinks that – so George Genkis, his teacher, is big on Instagram. I think probably a lot of people who are listening to that know that, and if not, should search him out. And there's several players he teaches who swing like that. So everyone thinks, okay, George Genkis – you know, he's got this goofy method that he teaches to maximize distance, because obviously Matthew hits it just stupid. I mean, we talked about how far guys hit it. I mean, he's another level. It's stupid far. Well, actually, that's Matthew's natural golf swing. He said today, I asked him, you know, how'd you develop it? And he said, if you didn't show me it on video, I'd think I swung straight back, straight through, which is the same thing Jim Furyk says. Jim Furyk said, I would never know that it looks weird. It feels normal to me. It feels like what a golf swing should feel like. But anyways, so Matthew has had all the success. So there are guys, including tour pros, Sung Kang is one, this guy on the web.com tour, Jonathan Ruiz is another, who go to Genkis and they want to swing like Matthew. So the reason you see more and more guys swing like Matthew is not because George developed some goofy system that looks funny. It's because people are copying Matthew Wolf, which is crazy. You know, social media has given him exposure that the guy's a freshman in college and guys are just copying his golf swing.
Yeah. I don't even know if I could get in those positions.
No. You have to have some flexibility and some athleticism to do it.
All right, Sean, are we going to see you next year in Arkansas?
I hope so. I have a friend who's an Arkansas alum. You know, try to get Kyle Porter, my friend, out here. He's Oklahoma State guy. We'll see. Fayetteville's a little harder to get to. This was good, just fit perfectly in my schedule, so hopefully, but we'll see.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for taking the time to talk to us, and good seeing you here at the championship, and brings back some memories, and hope you're at some more of them.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, for continued coverage of all your college golf needs and just to keep up on everything going on in the college golf world, continue to go to golfweek.com. Thanks for joining us.